Welcome back to Durker and Hott on Baseball, where I'll talk old school baseball with former Astros pitcher, broadcaster, and manager Larry Durker. This time I want to share part of a conversation I had with Larry Durker about Bob Gibson, a great, great pitcher and one of the most intense competitors sports has ever seen. Gibson, that was a really rough one because I admired him so much as a kid, watching him in the 64 series, 68, 67, all those. You faced him plenty of times. You saw him at his best. What are your recollections of him during those times and as a pitcher in general?
I think most of the players of that era admired his ability and his competitiveness. And I think probably if you were going to ask people from that span of baseball, who is the most intense player you ever competed against, they'd probably either say Pete Rose or Bob Gibson. And it was just, they just weren't going to have any lapse of concentration and competitiveness at all, period. And I really enjoyed talking to him after he was finished playing and I was finished playing. We did pitch against each other a few times, and I managed to win a game or two, I think. I know one at least, and got a hit up the middle off him. So, we have these different memories. I saw something recently where he beat me 1-0 during the 68 season, that juggernaut that he put on that year. So when I talked to him afterwards, he was just relaxed, and he was smiling, and we were reminiscing and that sort of thing. But I still remember running in the outfield early in my career out at Busch Stadium, and he was running in the outfield too. And as we crossed by, I said, "Hey, Bob," and he didn't even acknowledge that I was on the field. He just ran right by, and he continued, and I continued. And I went, "Okay, well, that's the way you want to be." My philosophy as a competitor was that I didn't mind talking to the other team's pitchers, but I wouldn't talk to the other team's hitters. That might have been different for Rusty Staub or Joe Morgan or somebody that I played a number of years with and I consider to be friends. I talked to them, but I wouldn't go out and try to meet the great players from the other teams if they were hitters, because sometime I might be in a position where I had a throw at them, and I didn't want to really be friends with the hitters on the other teams. And then after your career is over, you get to play in a couple of old-timers game, and you see all these guys. I had a long talk with Richie Allen one time, and that was just, it was just wonderful. I really remember it, but I never talked to him when we were competing. And so Gibson, as a pitcher, would be a guy I would have talked to even while I was playing, but he wouldn't.
No, he apparently had pretty much an ironclad rule that he was not going to talk to anyone on an opposing team, even in an all-star game, except for he would talk to other pitchers. He would not talk to hitters at all, anytime, anywhere, and that was just it. So he, I guess you could say, maybe after retirement sort of mellowed a little bit.
I think so. I think Cardinals players of his era, there were certain things where they were questioned his friendliness or something, but I think for the most part he was part of the team. He would go out with them after the games. He would joke around in the locker room. It was the other teams he didn't like, and who can blame him for that?
No, I mean, his mindset was a lot less uncommon then than probably now.
Yeah, well, now ever since free agency created a lot more mobility for players from team to team, I think that just quite naturally loosened things up in terms of guys just being friends and competing and not thinking much of it. Plus, hardly anybody ever throws anyone anymore anyway.
Right.
So it's different.
Yeah.
But for me, one of the things about Gibson, if you had to face him and you were on the road, you were hoping you would face him on getaway day. But you were likely to have a fast game and you'd be on your way.
Yeah, definitely. What was it like to hit against him? You said you got a base hit up the middle. What was your impression of his stuff from the batter's box?
Well, I don't think I saw his best stuff. I know he saw mine because he was a really good hitter.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that good a hitter, so I think this was a game in the Astrodome. I don't know who won it, but I think it was first pitch, and he just threw it in there, and I hit it a grounder up the middle. But I think if they met a man on second with two outs, I wouldn't have seen that pitch. At the other times when I faced him, my impression wasn't so much that he threw harder than anybody else. There were a lot of guys that threw pretty hard, but his fastball was really lively. And it wasn't one of those straight over the top riding fastballs like Seaver would throw or Koufax would throw or Nolan Ryan, where you'd always swing under it. It was more side to side. You know, he would run in on you or he would cut away from you, and he was fast and quick. And if you know that in his motion that he was putting his full energy into the pitch, because in his follow through, his leg would come all the way around toward the first baseline, and then he'd have to jump around square in case he needed to feel the ball. And because he was so quick, his whole athleticism that he could do that. You know, I fell off to the first base side on a lot of pitches, but I don't think I could get back around ready to field in time. And if it was hit behind me, I probably wasn't going to get it. If it was hit in front of me, like I had to cover first to get a swing bunt or something, you know, then that was easy because my momentum was going that way. But for him, he'd come around and then he'd hop back square. But when he actually threw the pitch, it looked like he was just flipping it in there. You couldn't really feel the power like you could with some of the other hard throwers. That doesn't mean he wasn't a hard thrower. It just means that it had a different impression for me. Watching him in postseason, you know, when he started in the first inning and gave it everything all the way through the game, you know, he just dominated teams in the postseason. They were the best teams the American League had. I think as his career went along during the long season, that a lot of times he'd try to coast through the first four or five innings. You know, and he had good enough control that if it's, you know, his coasting stuff was still better than average, and he'd flip it in there on the corner. It would cut over here and sink over there and throw the breaking ball. And, you know, the other thing was that with the intensity that he had in his visage, in his face, and in moving guys off the plate and everything, he was not a comfortable at bat for anybody because he had that reputation of pitching inside. And he did it enough that I think it was in the back of everyone's mind when they hit against him. It wasn't in mine because, you know, he had no reason to intimidate me. I wasn't a very good hitter. But it was comfortable. Boy, when he got into a situation and you were a guy that could beat him, you know, it was intense. His delivery still wasn't necessarily that power pitcher delivery. But just knowing him and seeing the look in his eyes, it was pretty intense.
I loved watching him because there was just not an ounce of bullshit in him. Not one ounce. We are here, and this, I mean business, and let's get going. Let's get this on and hopefully get it over with. That seemed to be the message that he was sending across.
Well, I think one of the very best quotes I've heard about anybody, and this was about him, and it was something that Ben Scully said, "Bob Gibson pitches as if he's double parked."
I thought that's what you were going to say. That's exactly what came to mind. I wasn't aware that it was Scully who said it, but that's the one I remembered. Getaway day, I bet a lot of those were 2 hours or less.
Yeah.
I love the competitiveness, you know, the idea that I am going to give every last ounce of energy that I have to win this game. We're here to win and nothing else. If I have to fall out toward first base, whatever I have to do, and, you know, he'd pop a home run once in a while, we're here to win and that's all. And I don't care what else happens. I'm going to pitch a complete game. We're going to win and that's it. And, and I just loved watching him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was. And as much as when I mentioned that, if you were the visiting team, that you were hoping, if you had to face him, it would be on getaway day because you'd get out of there and be on your way. Well, think about if you're a player for the Cardinals and he's making 35 starts a year, you know, on average, I'd say that's 10 or 12 games that he's going to start on getaway day, and you're going to be, you know, the game's going to be over in 2 hours.
Exactly. I just watched a couple of interviews with him, and they said, you know, what do you want to be remembered for? And he said, as somebody who gave it his all and who was competitor. And boy, if there's anybody who's ever just epitomized being competitive out there, to me that was him, and that's the biggest reason why I just loved watching him. That's it for this episode of Durker and Hott on Baseball. Check us out on Facebook or at hotcorner.com.